So good to see your faces.
Yes. Good to see you.
Yeah. Al is very festive, isn't he, Tom?
Yeah, he's... Oh, look at that.
All lit up.
He's glowing. Al, you're glowing there. I know. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, see his necklace.
I told him it was special. Okay. Very special.
Oh, it's there's Pat and Stan. We've been missing you guys.
No. Yes, it's good to see you, Stan and Pat.
Give me your text message.
I don't...
Whoops, we just lost Stan and Pat.
Uh-oh.
They were having a malfunction, I think.
Okay.
You know, it's a beautiful day out.
Oh, yes.
I guess Christmas is supposed to be, what, in the 40s? Or?
Yes.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, we should all go down. You know, in the gathering place, Tom, there's this little area there that's kind of recessed. You go down a few steps, and it's circular, and a Bible study would fit just perfectly in that area. We could all sit outside.
Well, I'm willing.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's really lovely.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been there.
It's really lovely.
Here, thanks, Stan. Night for a Bible study. We were by it last night, and the traffic jam was both ways.
Oh, my
boy.
Yeah, they have it all lit up, and we just looked at the part we could go through on the road, but it was quite busy.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Oh, it's so good to see your faces.
Y'all.
Is Jan going to be present, Al? I noticed that the chair is empty.
Oh, she's there.
Oh, she is. Okay.
We saw her earlier.
Oh, there's Pat and Stan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shelly and Danny and Buck and Kitty and Adam.
Here comes Donna.
I see Donna's name come up here. And there's Jan. Hello, Jan.
Hey there. How are you guys doing?
Just sober and vigilant and full of the love of God.
Yeah.
Amen. God.
Man, yes.
We love y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all getting ready for Christmas and everybody's got their packages all wrapped and all that stuff.
No. No. I have my last Christmas shopping to do today.
Good morning, James.
His audio is not connecting yet, so he's working on it. There you go.
Hello, James.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle. I was going to say Michelle. That's not Michelle. That's Donna.
Hi.
Yay.
We're going to get his name off there.
Well, right-click on it and rename yourself.
I don't even see the name. Should I see? Oh, wait. Okay, right-click on it. I thought we did the
right.
Okay, right-click.
If I right click, the whole screen will go black. I have no faith in my clicks.
Not doing anything.
Yes, me either. No faith in my clicks at all.
Yeah. Well, now there's another one.
Oh, there's Julie.
That's Julie. And Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
And Jerry. Yay.
Here, Donna, I'll rename you.
Okay, thank you. I'm clicking, but it's not doing anything.
There you go.
How's that?
There it is.
Okay.
Donna. There's Donna.
Okay. That's better.
Yes, that's a Donna.
By the way, Donna, how's Mick? I haven't seen him in a long time.
He's doing really good. Real good.
Is he still retired then or what?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, that, because I remember he was kind of in and out for several years.
Yeah, he's been retired for quite a while, so.
Oh.
Good. I guess that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
Donna, are you still?
Jane.
Yes.
Hello.
I hear laughter.
And there's an. Is that my friend from Missouri? Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
I think everybody is present, aren't they?
Yes, Helen was in Idaho. We talked to her, and so she may or may not be here.
Okay, that's right. She is in Idaho.
So she's loving being with her family.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm glad they have family.
Yes. Oh,
what does your cup say?
My cup says, this is a John Wayne cup, and it says, a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
There you go.
Thank you, Duke. Yes.
My grandson told me about a book that he is just reading that is Jesus and John Wayne. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I've read it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite a story. A lot of people don't know that in 1949, the guy that wrote that song about this old house is really a gospel song.
Right, yeah, right.
And it's written by a guy that was a friend of John Wayne's.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
John Wayne told him to go and hear this young evangelist in L.A. Well, that young evangelist was Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
And Billy Graham, this guy responded, became a Christian, left the movie business, and became a teacher of the scripture for the rest of his life, wrote that song and many others, and I can't remember his name. It's quite a story.
Yeah.
And then I told you the story about John Wayne and the guy from, was on the air for years.
Crystal Chapel.
Who?
The one that had the Crystal Chapel or whatever.
Yeah, Crystal Cathedral.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've told you that story, haven't I?
It's yeah. Stuart Hamlin.
Hamlin, that's right.
Stuart Hamlin.
That's right. That's the guy who wrote the song.
Wow.
Come to the cathedral and sing that at Christmas time.
In Akron, Ohio, where we live.
Yeah. But there's a marvelous story with John Wayne and that guy's the pastor of that Crystal Cathedral. His daughter who lost her leg, you remember, in an accident. And in his congregation was a friend of John Wayne's, and they told John Wayne about it. And he sent her a little note saying he would be praying for her to be. And she was so excited, she wrote back to him. She was about 13 or 12 that she and her dad sure hoped that he knew Jesus because they couldn't imagine going to heaven without John Wayne. This same guy took the message back to them. They had dinner, he and John Wayne, every month or so. I've told this before, trying to make it very quick. And gave the note to John Wayne, and he was really moved by it and wrote her back a letter that said not to worry, that he had come to Christ and that he would they would meet together in glory if they don't meet before. And it was just kind of a real sweet story that I heard about. Then I met the daughter of that same guy, another daughter, who told me, I told the story to, and she said, oh, yes, I know that was my sister. So I had the story corroborated.
That's,
and then Buck may remember the lady at what was the place we went?
Prairie Rose
sat there and said, I heard the same story at the desk of this guy in the chapel. So must be true. Well, anyway, glory to God and peace on earth. And I just enjoy seeing you this holy week. And as I'm saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we just come as brothers and sisters. And Lord, let us, by your revelation and grace-filled spirit, realize that each of us is a son or a daughter of the living God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And bless this time together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as some of you who I've known a while know, every Christmas, there are several things that Barbara and I have to rehearse because they're so important to our life as early Christians. And I'd like to review them. Some of you know what already in advance what I want to read and share, but we're going back over them and just taking our time thinking about them and the impact they had our first Christmas when we had been born again in the previous spring. The first one was from the Gospel of Luke. And if you'd like to turn And it was a revelation that came and just comes back every Christmas. And every Christmas, if I'm teaching anywhere, I tell this and read this story. Luke chapter 2. There's Danny and Donna and Stan and June and Jane and Tom and Sandy. And, well, there's a Sherry there all by herself. And Jim and Julie and Shelly and Al. What a nice bunch of people. Huh? You ready? Luke 2. Now, it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because she was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to give birth. And the thing that was so stunning to me was when you go back and you read a census of the whole inhabited earth, can you imagine the confusion that was going all over Rome? Everybody going back to the Rome. And the emperor must have thought, boy, I've got great power to cause this to happen. But you know what was really behind it? God was moving a pregnant girl 90 kilometers that he could fulfill a 3,000-year-old prophetic word.
Right.
I thought about that, and it makes me weep, because if I'd been alive at that time, I'd been complaining about having to move and go and da-da-da.
Oh, yeah.
It would have missed the whole thing. The real thing was God was moving a pregnant girl and her husband 90 kilometers. I don't know why that hits me way down inside where the voice of God speaks. It means that you and I, when we look at the world, especially right now with the COVID vaccine thing and going on and all of the political things going on and how rude and gross our civilization is becoming and how it seems to permeated the church on so many levels. And if that's what you continue to see, you're going to be sad. But I've been asking that Barb and I, every Advent since our born again experience was, Lord, would you enable us to turn our eyes from what's going on in the world, not be distracted as they were in the days of Rome and the great census, and realize that you're doing something by your marvelous grace. Help us to see that. And so I've been asking myself this census, that all in the world, what are you doing, Father? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Christ is coming again, we know. Is this preparation time? Amen. The scripture tells us, as we've read so many times, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. And then we've become aware that the gospel of the kingdom has begun to be preached in the last 50, 60 years as never in church history. Is this the time? I don't know. But what an exciting time to be alive. And not be just seduced by the events of the world. So as we come into this Christmas time, I just pray that you and I together are going to have our eyes on the reason for the season. Jesus the Christ came into the world and he fulfilled every scriptural text. And he came through the womb of that young virgin, Mary. And so I remember those verses. The next ones that I remember every Christmas, if you would, go back with me to Genesis, the third chapter. And many of you have made this connection far long before I ever did, but it was really important for me to read. And it's in the third chapter of Genesis that we read about the fall of mankind. They eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and when they were instructed not to. And then comes the judgment of God, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 12 of Genesis 3. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And then here's the verse. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. I can recall in a Bible study I read, 60 years ago now, there was a cutaway picture of Mount Calvary and the cross coming down in the hole. And at the bottom of the hole of the cross was the head of Satan. And the cross came down and crushed it. And I began to think how many times in the Old Testament, all the way through, and then I would rush ahead to the genealogy in Matthew 1. And as I read the genealogy in Matthew 1, I began to sense, and you can correct me in this, I may be absolutely on off, that the genealogy is there to show us how Satan looked all through Judaism's history for the seed. It was hunting the seed all through the Old Testament. For instance, when you begin to read the book of the genealogy, just in Matthew, and of course you go through the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Judah was born Perez, and Perez Tamar, and Perez Haran, and Haran Ram, and Ram was born Amminadab, and etc. And Sion, and Rahab, and Boaz, and Ruth. And I began to read that, and I thought, why did the Holy Spirit take all this time to go through all this generation? I thought another insight was that we might see the seed of the man pursuing the seed of the woman. Somewhere down in Israel's history, that seed came all the way down. And it came all the way down, it says in verse 17 of Matthew 1, you know the text. The generations from Abraham to David are 14. David to the deportation of Babylon, 14. And deportation to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. When she considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And he will bear a son, and she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. These are such familiar texts, and I realized that, but when I thought about the history, the enemy all through Israel's history was trying to find that seed. It never did.
It never did.
It never did. It never did. It never did. And I began to think more and more about that. And then I went back and began to reread so many of the Old Testament testimonies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read them with you today from Isaiah, beginning in the seventh chapter of Isaiah. You know the texts, but to hear them again as we celebrate the advent of the Son of God. The other thing is that's important is you remember the law of Moses. What did it say if there was a conception outside of marriage? What was to happen to that woman?
Stoned. Stoned.
She would be stoned. She mm-hmm. would be stoned. And Joseph, you know, wants to put her away silently. He's wrestling with the law of Moses and the love he must feel and the questions that must have filled his mind. Because I think he trusted her virginity. She was a young girl. And probably if she had been some sort of a harlot, he might have did a different response, but he doesn't. He wants to put her away quietly. And in that time, God begins to speak to her. Are there times in your life and mine where the word of God has seemed so clear, and yet in your spirit, God's saying, I have something else to say. Don't limit it to that thing that you see initially. Think about it. Anyway, the first text is from Isaiah. I think I read from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. I love this. I'll pick it up in verse 13. Then he said, listen now, O house of David, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, because of that question, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, I'll pick it up in verse 8 or 6. For a child will be born in us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And then just bring to your remember the prophecies in Daniel about a kingdom, an endless eternal kingdom and an eternal king. As we approach the birth and its remembering of Jesus. And then in Matthew, again in chapter 1, I've already read from it. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. And this is preparation again for the birth and the coming of the Lord Jesus. This is when Zechariah is in his position as the priest. In verse 11, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is 1:11 of Luke. Standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him. Fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And then I'll pick it up in verse 21. And the people were waiting for Zacharias and wondering why he was delayed in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. You remember? God said that he didn't believe this. I'm going to shut your mouth. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And it came about when the days of his priestly service were ended that he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, was pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. "And behold, you will receive in your womb, or conceive in your womb, and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Oh, Jesus. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." "But nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." There's so much, but when we remember the Advent, we've got to see through the frivolous things that are going on in the world as it celebrates a giving season. As it celebrates, not really Christmas, it just celebrates a celebration. But not for you and I. It's not just a celebration. It's a remembrance of the promise of God from the book of Genesis all the way through the Old Testament and the prophets. And then remember Micah, "In the city of Bethlehem shall he be born." And how God turns the whole empire upside down to move them that 90 kilometers. It's just so good for you and I to remember together the sovereignty of our Lord, the love of our Lord, the faithfulness of our Lord to his word all through human history. And he is no less faithful in our day and time than he has always been in every day and every time. So my prayer this particular Advent season has been, I think, what is it, Thursday or Friday? Christmas.
Friday's
it's
day.
Friday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As we celebrate this week in preparation, my prayer for you and I is that we prepare our hearts to when we get up in the morning, if we're going to unwrap presents or we're going to do lots of things, that's not wrong, but let it be secondary. Let us get up and read the story again and remember again what God has done for you and I. We have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And like the angels in the field, we can worship our God. Let us do that first and foremost on the morning of his birth as we remember it together. And then we can go on and do the celebration, which is just fine. But basic, the reason for the season, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Christmas, I can remember since Barbara and I were born again, we go back and read these texts. And sometimes we couldn't read through them without just weeping. And remembering that God fulfilled even the smallest iota. He filled dozens of prophetic words down through the history. And that seed was carried by the woman all the way through Israel's history to young Mary when the seed is finally planted in her young womb. And Christ becomes a man. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, praise your holy name. So, Father, along with my brothers and sisters, I just want to stand before your throne of mercy and grace. I want to see in the birth of Jesus, somehow by your spirit, Calvary, the reason that son comes to save his people from their sin. I come to Gethsemane. And I see the anguish of that baby, now a man, who's been in ministry and has healed the sick and raised the dead and is telling them they're going to have to drink his blood and eat of his flesh. And then you tell him that there's going to be a Paschal lamb slain. And he says, who's that going to be? And three times he has to come to his father. Say, Father, isn't there another way? No, son, it's yours. It's yours. It's what I've called you to be. And Jesus goes through all of the agony of Calvary, sheds his blood, goes to death, and takes sin to its death, and rises the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then we know that one day he's coming again. Is this the day, Father God, that you're going to be coming? Are you coming soon? Lord, we look around the world and we look around the church, Lord, and some don't seem to give us much hope. But your word and your spirit do give us hope. You are going to return. And we call out, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And let us celebrate this Advent as a continuing Advent. Let it be daily as we come to you. May your spirit come and fill us to overflowing. Oh, Lord Jesus, let us be a son and a daughter to you and your kingdom. Let it come in and through us to the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, that's about all I've got to say today because I just am bound up in the birth of Jesus.
I have something to add to that.
Please do.
Because the Lord was kind of dealing with me with the same thing in the last couple of days. So I was thinking about Jesus' genetic background. And
yes.
His mother Mary had 24 chromosomes, two X female chromosomes. And so why did God choose Mary? You know, in Luke, we already read that. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel said, "Hail, highly favored one." The Greek verb there means one who has been caused to find favor or is gifted. And in verse 30, "You have found favor with God." Same word. It's the word for grace, charis. You've got a gift from God, favor from God. So I said, well, who else found favor or grace from God? If you go back and look at the scriptures, one of the first times is Genesis 6, verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
And he landed high and dry.
And so what happened then? The flood. Okay.
Yeah.
Genesis 11, Israel found grace from the Lord when they're in Egypt. And what happened there? Passover and their deliverance. Esther found grace before she went to the king.
Yes.
And what happened there? Israel was protected from destruction. Daniel 1:9, Daniel found favor with Babylonian authorities so that actually Israel could return to Israel, rebuild the temple of the city. So as you look at all those are times when God stepped into man's world at a specific time in history.
Yes.
The Hebrew word is moed, God's appointed times. And he gave grace to people at those appointed times to carry out his plan and purpose in the earth.
Yes.
So it was God's timing, his moed, and it was his choice to use Mary to carry out his plan at that time. And it had to be done at that time because there's only 3 days left under creation, the fifth, sixth, and seventh days. So
that's right.
It has to come before those last 2 days so we can return and be raised on the third. And so in Luke 35, you know, she asks about how that's going to happen. And we read it. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, born in you will be called the Son of God. So now the Holy Spirit, God's supernatural DNA, comes into Mary. And there's no sin in that DNA. That did not come from Adam.
Amen.
Adam carried the bad sin. So this genetic code on the male side from God is sinless. And what happened? It's just what John said. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And, you know, you look at Philippians 2, you read about the kenosis, how Jesus set
aside,
humbled himself and came to earth as a baby. And so Jesus is both the Son of God and, of course, the Son of Man. And you already answered the question. I said, well, why Bethlehem? First, the prophecy of Micah 5:2. He had to be there because they had the ancestral home of David. So he had to go to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem also, the name Bethlehem means city of bread.
Right.
And that wow. Jesus was the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is when he's born, you know, he's basically delivered in a manger, which is a cave where the sheep were fed.
Right. And
those are the caves on the hills of Bethlehem where the shepherds who raised the temple sheep lived.
Right.
They raised those perfect sheep for sacrifice there. And when the sheep were born, they wrapped them in those swaddling cloths. And they were born.
Wow.
In those stables. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow, that's magnificent.
Yeah.
Every jot and every detail.
Oh, yeah. And so when did this occur? Well, probably not at AD 1. Actually, it was probably 4 to 5 BC.
Amen.
So Herod died at 4 BC. And so the wise men, it probably took a year and a half for them to walk from Persia to Bethlehem. And, you know, Jesus was almost 2 years old when they got there. Mm-hmm. And they were led by the star, which was probably not a constellation like the conjunction last night of Saturn and Jupiter.
Right.
Probably a supernatural heavenly event.
Amen.
Anyway, so this brought me to the point, we also need this supernatural birth. We each need our own Bethlehem.
Yes.
We get it in the same way. Think about it.
That's right.
We found grace and favor with God.
Yes.
He calls us chosen before the foundation of the world.
Calls us out.
And then the Holy Spirit comes upon us also. Convicts us of sin. We have a need for a Savior. Holy Spirit shows us the way via the Word of God. So we hear that Word, and then we do it. We do it just as she did. She said, "Give it unto me according to your Word."
That's our prayer too, then, right, Al?
Yeah, when you hear the gospel message, Jesus died for your sins, you say, "Well, be it unto me according to that Word. I believe Jesus died for my sins." And that's what it takes. And then the Holy Spirit carries out the work of regeneration, making you born again, like Titus 3:5 says. And then the Holy Spirit comes into us along with Jesus and God the Father. We become a new creation, totally new creation. And so now we can live as Jesus did. We're already seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus on the throne with him. Amen. At the right hand of the Father. We're there right now. So we each had our own Bethlehem birth. If you haven't had a Bethlehem birth, you're not in Christ.
That's right.
You've got to be born again. And then the other thing, the truth that's, I think, is becoming clear today, and you touched on it. The believers, the church, and the world are experiencing birth pains. We're in travail. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we are about to deliver Jesus at his second coming. It's a supernatural birth that's going to occur. And it's coming through the church and by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's God's supernatural power going on. And just as there was spiritual warfare to try to prevent his first coming and Herod trying to kill all the babies, there's spiritual warfare going on now to try to resist the return of the king.
Amen. And kill more babies.
And that's right. And that's what believers are going to experience. And I personally believe we're already beginning those last number of years.
I believe so too. Thank you, Al.
Stand by. Here's something. I just got an email today. I've told you about this guy before, Eric Watt. He's an ORU student, and he deals with Muslim countries, and he doesn't tell you where he is. But just in the last year, this is the first Christmas for many Muslims who became believers in Jesus over the past year. They've had hundreds. How many do you say? The number. They have 150 in Muslims gathering in 157 countries speaking 748 languages. Gathering in 1.8 million house churches with more than 40 million adults.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's just the result of him. What he does, he goes into these Muslim countries where you can go in that are adjacent to Iran, Iraq, and those areas. And they lead people to Jesus. And then they get them discipled and encourage them to go, those people, the Muslim converted believers, to go into these lands and go to the villages and cities where they can go safely, or presumably safely, and lead others to Jesus. And most of those people either drive in their cars or they walk in or they ride camels. And they go all these different places, and they've led whole villages and areas to Jesus. Amen. They have to keep it kind of secret because you're still a very dangerous place if you're a believer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Al, our friend,
how that's being spread.
Well, I know you all know Drew and Mary and, yep. and others of ours that have been out of Lebanon. Yep. They say the renewal going on among the Islamic people is stunning, just as you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. it has all the signs of, is he at the door knocking?
Gathering.
Is he, yeah. he coming again? Is this, am I going to be alive? I'm 85, Lord. Is that too old? No, it's not. I have an excitement. Whether I live or die, I'm in the Lord.
Amen.
So whether he comes when I'm physically still alive or when I'm alive after my death, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't particularly care which, but he's coming again. Yeah. Our Lord is on the throne and we are seated with him. And what does that mean? It says we can bind and loose as he did. We can speak the words of encouragement that people need to hear.
Right.
One of the gifts that I think I have heard more about, may not be the only one, of course, is the gift of the discerning of spirits. Not the discerning so much of demonic and holy, but the discerning of what's going on in people's hearts and minds. So that when I'm talking to them, I'm not only hearing the words that come out of their mouth, but I'm asking, Lord, what's going on in their heart?
Right.
And I'm amazed at what God begins to show. And if I respond to those, that inner thing, people are stunned by, how did you know I was thinking about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that you and I are filled with the Spirit that we might be able to speak words of life into people.
Right.
Glory to God. Thank you so much for that, Al.
Yeah, we got work to do.
Amen.
That's what Janet keeps telling me. Oh, we got work to do. Work to do.
We're sitting here in this house with we built in 1969. And the other day I was going through some old papers and ran across some letters that I'd written my dad, in which I'd said, Dad, thanks for the $2,000 you gave as a down payment to build this house. And I'd forgotten all about it, and I'd thanked him for it. And now here it is, almost 50-some years later, that my father and my mother came to this home where they died. And now we come to it because this has been a temple of the Holy Spirit ever since it was born. The two brothers that built this home at cost. Can you believe that? When they came and said, Tom, my brother, so-and-so and brother, I don't want to expose them unnecessarily, as they said, we want to build your house at cost. Is that all right with you? Well, sure, you know. But here we are in this lovely little, this is my little office now. I could move this around a little, let you see. There's not much to hear to see. And then the other room is Barbara and I, and that's where our bedroom is. And it's just beautiful. Our daughters come and they. I just can't believe it, the goodness of our daughters and sons and the way they care for us. And I sometimes feel, you know, like, gee, I don't want to be a burden. My daughter said, do you remember saying that to your dad and mom when they were here? Get over it, Dad. I said, yes, daughter. Yes. But anyway, we're so grateful to just be here. And I thought, does this mean that we're just isolated to be a prayer group? And I want you all to know, if you ever like to come and visit, give me a call on the phone so I know when you're coming. You are more than welcome here. We've been through the COVID. We've been 3 or 4 weeks on the side of healed of it. Yeah. So I don't think we'll infect you. If you want to wear a mask when you come, but you would be more than welcome to come. Just let us know in advance. And my telephone number, if you're interested, we have a new one.
Oh,
because we're no longer on Cox. Here's our new number. It's area code 918-693-3717. That's our number. And you are more than welcome to call sometime. And if,
say it again. 918-693-3717.
Is that Becky's home number?
Pardon me?
Is that your individual number? Or
that is my individual number. It's the only number we have now.
You don't have an email on, I mean, you don't have a cell phone?
No, that's... comes in the cell phone.
That is a cell phone.
That is the cell phone.
That is Tom's cell phone.
Yeah, so, we have no number.
Lay line.
Tom, let me see if I have this correct. It's 918-693-3717.
That's correct.
And you're no longer Timon at Cox.net.
Oh, yes. I'm still on email.
Yeah. Okay, you're still there at email. Okay.
But we don't have the Cox phone number that we used to have.
Yeah. Okay.
We are our number now is through Becky and Brian and their Cox. Okay. So, but it's the same email for me, timone@cox.net. Yeah.
Okay. And how is your lovely bride, Tom?
Oh gosh, I'll tell you. I have to really repent sometimes of sloppy agape. I'm so in love with this girl, and
yes,
and we were remembering together, and I think at our age, maybe some of you have experienced this, I've gone back and thought what first brought us together, I didn't think was very much the Holy Spirit. You know, I've told you about that, and yet God used it. God used it to bring that girl to me and her to me and me to her. And we were both lost as anybody could be. And yet God spoke to us in our lostness and we found a Savior. And he saved us, gave us 6 beautiful children. One has preceded us in glory. All of our remaining 5 children, married believers, and most, I would say probably at least a third to of our oh, be quiet there.
Dig that crazy.
Yes. Anyway, most of them, I would say that we have 21 grandchildren. I would say that at least 8 or 9 of them already know the Lord and are walking with him. About 2 or 3 months ago, Brian and I baptized 2 of his sons. And that was a marvelous experience because we, in our Bread of Life fellowship, we encouraged fathers and mothers to baptize their own children. So, it needed to be a reverent to baptize. And I can't tell you the families that are so grateful for having taken the privilege to baptize their own children. It's just a wonderful gift. So anyway, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All your kids live here in Tulsa area?
No, Tommy and his wife are in St. Louis. St. Louis and the rest of them are all here. So Paul and Devon and their family is here. Matt and Andrea are here. Brian and Becky are here. And Steve and Sarah. And then all their children. So. And I do have a grandson who's in the Coast Guard, and he's married, and I think they've been married 3 or 4 years now, but all of the rest of them are in the area.
That's
we're very grateful.
So are you going to spend Christmas at somebody's home, or are you going to be there? I mean, with your kids?
We're going to be here with Brian and Becky. We don't think there's going to be a family gathering as there usually is somewhere. I would love for there to be, but I don't want to be stupid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get that gift, the gift of willfulness on my part.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good to see you, and just God bless you as you celebrate Christmas. And
yes, bless the Christmas.
Christmas, isn't it, Shelley?
Christmas.
Yes, blessed Christmas.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Anything anybody would like to say or pray? Go ahead.
I'd like to ask a question or discuss this if we could.
Sure.
When I went to Israel in the 90s, our guide, who was a Christian, would put out little pieces of thought as we traveled. And one was this. He said that during the time of Christ, that usually a big inn would house all women in one area and all men in another room or area.
Yes.
And he said, perhaps, and he emphasized perhaps, Joseph wanted to be with Mary, and there was no place in an inn for them to be, and that perhaps might be why he was born in a manger.
Huh.
Well, discuss that. What? That sounds logical to me.
Well, they're wrapped in swaddling clothes.
He had to be born in the manger because that's where the sacrificial sheep were born.
Amen.
And also, it's scripture.
I agree. Go ahead.
I had a little thing to add to.
Go ahead.
The swaddling clothes we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just any old cloths. They're the priestly garments of deceased priests, and they were always saved. Yeah. And they wrapped the lamb in that
for protection
to keep it from getting
marred
or blemished.
Right. And yes.
The thought is that Elizabeth probably gave Mary cloths from the priestly garments, and he was wrapped in priestly garments, which would have been another sign to those shepherds.
Wow.
I think there's things that we're going to discover that we never even knew.
That's right.
Yes.
But you know, the great discovery is that he saves us.
Yes.
We're saved. Amen. Redeemed.
Yes.
Eternally, forever.
Yes.
Glory to the King. Yeah. Well, may God bless you as portions of your family can come together. Just be wise and enjoy the reason for the season.
Season, yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
I comment about one thing I heard somebody say, and I just throw it out for comment. He said, Jesus is the reason for the season, but we are the reason for Jesus.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Well said. Yeah. He came to save us. And I think, you know, as all of us would probably say, as Barbara and I have said, we didn't even know we needed to be saved. We thought we were doing pretty good. Go ahead, Al.
I say, I knew I needed to be saved.
Well, when I hear what happened with Jan, I can understand, Al. I was telling my wife about your testimony the other day, and I said, I wish I could remember the details, but the way he talked about before he was saved and what God was doing with Jan just blew his mind. There was no place to put it, was there, Al?
No. No.
What's God doing to my girl? I love it. I love it. Oh, bless the name of Jesus.
That's only God can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you, and we'll see you after Christmas. And
yes.
God bless each of your families. And if there's anything that needs to be redeemed, we pray that the Redeemer redeem them in this time of healing.
Oh,
he can heal anything. He took us from the dead. He can certainly raise situations that seem difficult.
Right.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless.
God bless you, Tom.
God bless you all.